here in Central Florida. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and this is Off the Beaten Path. Today's date is March 17th, 2024. It's Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's been a full week of news and sound bites as it's being passed off as real news, much of which I would call the fake news. The time to be vocal is right now. Silence is implied consent. Please visit the RBN website for great resource articles for provocative insight and share what you have learned. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Our phone number is 512-248-8252. My email address has changed for now. It's otbpsteve@gmail.com. That's otbpsteve@gmail.com. It's nice to be here. St. Patrick's Day. Are you stuffed with corned beef and cabbage? Are you full? I actually didn't have any this year. I actually love it and didn't have any. Actually, probably not real good for you, the corned beef, I think. I'm going to dedicate tonight's show to my mother and father. My father passing away 5 years ago. Had a birthday recently on March 8th. Would have been 101 years old. Passed away at 95. And their anniversary is today, as well as my anniversary, believe it or not, on the same day. And my parents would have been married for 66 years. So I dedicate tonight's show to my parents, my mother and my father. What else we got going on here? Like I said, the email has changed. Protocols, health protocols. I want to touch Dutch bases on that real quick here. And that I've had a computer glitch. I won't go into any detail. I'll just tell you right now, I had a computer glitch with my health protocols. And so I am fixing it, and it should be fixed tonight sometime. And I will take care of all those requests for my health protocols. And Elaine, if you're listening tonight, I did not forget you. Like I said, this is a complete computer glitch. Maybe I'll be able to give a little more highlight on that a little later. But at this point, I think I fixed the problem. And those who request my protocols will get those on email. So just keep the requests coming in if you want them. And I think we're in pretty good shape right now with the season. The spring is coming pretty soon. But, you know, COVID is year-round. So a lot of my protocols point to COVID-19 and prevention and treatment. So I guess pretty much all year round, you'll be able to use my protocols. So, again, if you want the protocols, be happy to send them to you. Just contact me on email. That's otbpsteve@gmail.com. I'll send those over to you. Well, let's get to my morning ritual. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that has this ritual. Don't you just love that me time in the morning when there's nobody around? Even the dogs are sleeping. You know, I get up, I have my cup of coffee. I haven't even turned on the news to see what's going on yet. That's a little depressing these days. But I sit down and I reflect. Sometimes I write little notes. I have little notes at my bedside. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll turn the light on. I'll write a couple notes down. I know comedians do this all the time to make sure they don't forget great material that they want to use on stage. And I'll do the same thing because I want to talk about these issues or I have an idea. And I know if I don't write it down, there's a very good small chance that I'll remember it in the morning. It's not going to. If you're going to float around in your head all night, just write it down and then you can go back to sleep. So I do that. So this morning, like I said, I love my mornings alone. A cup of coffee, slowly waking up, and my thoughts being my own, quiet in the house, to put down on paper my thoughts before they disappear. And I have a pen, like I said, the paper at the bedside, and I'll write those notes. But, you know, I am a man who worries and has great concern. I really do. I am one of those guys. I don't, it'll be all right tomorrow, right? No, I think about things. I watch the news. I watch what's going on. I'm very visual. I watch what's going on in the country around me. I watch how people are behaving, reacting. I watch what's going on. I mean, I'm very focal. And like I said, I sit down and I get these ideas and I write them down because I want to share them with either just my own person or I want to share them with you. And tonight I'll share them with you. I am blessed to have this platform on RBN. Thanks to John Stadmiller. I really miss him. And again, I am very, very, very thankful for being on this network and having the ability to bring you information, to bring you perspective, to bring you feelings and viewpoints, and also open up the dialogue in return for you to call in and give me your opinions. I do appreciate the listeners of this network. you are why we're still here. We're still fighting to survive. And I think we're going to grow a little bit more because I think people are all getting tired of the mainstream media. They don't trust them. They should not trust them. There's no reason to trust the mainstream media. And independent media is up and down. I don't know. Sometimes I think, well, they're doing a good job. Sometimes I think, why'd you pull back on that story? It's a good story. Why did you go so short on the story? And I don't do that. I never have done that. I've not had anybody say, hey, Steve, you can't talk about that. I did in California. That's why my show only lasted 9 weeks. But John's never said that to me. Nobody's ever said that to me. Hey, Steve, you've gone off in a deep side there of the pool there, and you can't do that. You got to pull back. Nobody's ever said that to me because I don't think I've ever really trespassed and gone into areas I shouldn't have gone. And that's why it's nice to be here in RBN and talk about the issues. So this morning, this Sunday morning here, I am writing down my thoughts, and I'm feeling a little bit like John Boy Walton, you know, my thoughts this morning. And I guess one of the questions I ask myself is, what if Noah had paired up the animals, same-sex animals, on to board on the ark? What if he had paired up all the animals, same-sex, to put on the ark? Well, we would have no animals on the planet. They'd live for a little while. They'd live out their lives, and then they'd suddenly die, and that's it. No replacement. No replenishing the earth of the animals. And this logical thought is proof that God never intended man to lie down with man or have woman lie down with woman. God gave us this great gift of life, the ability to procreate, to populate the planet he worked so hard to create in those 6 days. God did not create PC, political correctness, or woke when he created man or woman. Man created PC and woke in response to the growing number of people who have lost their way. People who have lost their way. Man found it necessary to redefine God's high standards to agree with their low morality beliefs and thinking. Man's failure is because he lowered the bar. I sent that to quite a few people today. And all the people I sent it to came back and said, bingo, 100%. 100%. And that's true. That's true. I think John once mentioned this one time about putting all males on one island and then putting a whole bunch of females on this island here. And that essentially civilization, man would die and woman would die. But if you bring them together, of course, you have a population. So that's been my reasoning all along. I will not discriminate against somebody for their choice in sexual behavior. I don't care. Don't bring it to work. I don't care. Whatever you do in the privacy of your own home, I don't care. Leave my children alone, we'll have no problem. Let my children be children, normal children growing up. And you know what? I'll take care of that other issue with my children. I think we all feel that way. Is that's my business, not your business, and don't make it your business, and don't push your agenda on me, because now we have a problem. We have a problem now. And don't cry homophobia, don't cry racism, don't cry any of that stuff, because you have no argument here. I'm simply asking you to keep it to yourself, as I keep my sexuality. I'm heterosexual, but I keep it to myself. It's my business, and that's your business, and keep it to yourself. There'll be no problem as long as you don't try to push the agenda. No problem whatsoever. We'll get along. We'll fine. We'll work with each other. We'll have no issues. Just keep your business, your private business, to yourself. I'll do the same. So let's talk about. We got a lot of news here. News in my views for this week. A lot of stuff's going on this week here. Let me get to my little list here. I will promise not to shake the papers too much here. I will hold on a second. Turn off this condenser mic because it's so sensitive. Hold on. All right, we're back. Let's talk about the Haiti crisis a little bit. It's another form of illegal immigration, even though it's not quite the same as what's coming over our southern borders, no doubt about it. Southern borders, they're just walking over. They're claiming asylum, that they're, you know, being hunted down and there's violence in their countries, but many of those claims are false. There's no proof of that whatsoever. There's people just wanting to come here for a better life. Or maybe they're coming here to do damage. I don't know. We don't know. Because we don't take the time to figure it out anyway. We just, they come in and they say, yeah, you said the right word. You said asylum. And therefore, come on in. So like I said, many of these people, we have no idea what their intentions are, where they even are. Once they get in, how they migrate and take off into different states, or being flown into different states by the Biden administration, with 320,000 so far that we know have been flown into this country and spread around the nation. My guess is probably to red states with an intention of making them citizens at some point in time and then having them flip the elections. That's exactly what I believe is happening here now. But on this Haiti crisis, this little situation in Haiti here, I thought about it a little bit, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say I believe this situation, the violence there by the cartels, the gangs, was created by our own CIA. Now, we've seen this in the past. That's actually kind of a modus operandi, what they do. The CIA goes into countries. They make problems. They divide the people. They create civil wars with an intention of pretty much going back in to settle the war, calm it down, and then they take what they want. They end up owning the government, and they take the resources that they want. It's a good way of stealing resources and also establishing cheap labor for the markets in the future here, a cheap workforce. So I believe this thing was caused by the CIA, and it just has that feel all over it, basically. And you got to say, what is it about the timing of this here, the timing here? We have open borders, lax borders, and now we have fleeing Haitians getting into boats and heading over to Florida. Another Biden strategy to flip elections from red to blue, no doubt about it. Maybe it's just a little bit also a payback to Governor Ron DeSantis for bucking Biden's communism here, you know, his COVID shutdown agenda and his illegal immigration agenda. Maybe it's just a little bit punishment coming back at Ron DeSantis here for helping out Governor Greg Abbott, sending troops down there, National Guard, sending law enforcement down there to help Greg Abbott to stop the illegal invasion. And the cities that we kind of look at that might be targeted and hit will probably be Miami, Tampa, and Orlando areas. And this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. Again, these people actually could actually claim in truth to be seeking asylum from the violence that's going on there. Again, but it's my belief that this violence and this civil war that they're doing right now in Haiti and dividing the people has been caused by your own CIA. Now, I went back to May 15th through the 30th, 1980, the Muriel boat lift. This is the Muriel boat, Cuban boat lift 2.0 on steroids, no doubt about it. So we got a problem here. Governor Ron DeSantis, he's caught between a rock and a hard place on this one here. Of course, he understands that there really is chaos going on in Haiti right now. And by the way, let's be honest with what Haiti really is. My wife went there for humanitarian effort for nursing and helping people and surgeons and doctors and everything. And she actually went to a decent area of Haiti, probably one of the better areas. But overall, Donald Trump was correct in using his description of Haiti. He truly was. And then you have to ask yourself, what's going on right now in Haiti? What happened to the billions of dollars that the Clinton Foundation had made to help the Haitian people? What happened to that money? Anybody know? Anybody have an idea what happened to the money the Clintons made, their little foundation, to help the Haitian people? Gone. Up and vanished like a fart in a Texas windstorm, as John would say. That's exactly where that money went. It's gone. Is there any tracking? Has there been any forensic audit to find out where the money went? No. They just simply shut it down. The foundation has been shut down, and there's no trail now. They burned all the records. They got rid of everything that we could use to find out what actually happened. Kind of like what you did to her server, the hard drive, the bleaching, the smashing up of the BlackBerry. They did it the second time around here. They did it again. So we'll never actually know the truth. But when somebody goes to those efforts to destroy evidence, you can bet that it wasn't a good thing, that it was very much dishonest and illegal what they were doing. But, this is serious stuff here. So what's Governor Ron DeSantis do? what's the situation here? Well, I can tell you what's going to happen here. Now, he's got the Coast Guard out there to stop the boats from coming into touching land in Florida. He's got National Guard helping out, helping out the Coast Guard. And here's the issue that we have a problem with, because I've seen this before happen, is that they get close enough, you're going to have to stop these people way out there, 50, 100 miles. But if they let them get too damn close, what's going to happen is you're going to have Haitians jumping off of boats thinking they can swim for it. Well, they're not going to make it. They're going to drown. And that's going to make Governor Ron DeSantis look pretty dang bad. You know, he's not a good guy. He's a terrible, mean person. He allowed those people to drown. They were actually seeking asylum. Their country is on fire here. And Governor Ron DeSantis made them, pretty much pushed them off the boat to swim for safety, to reach America, and he made sure that they drowned. They all drowned. Well, I guess, you know, what do you do about that situation? What do? You hire a bunch of fishermen, shrimpers, to pull their drag nets and kind of pull them into the net and then put them back on a boat and send them back? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this problem here. But it's all by design to make Governor Ron DeSantis look very, very bad. Okay, let's say for some reason they do get on U.S. soil, that they get in Florida. You put them in a holding center, Democrats will call it a concentration camp, and you know that's not what it is, simply a holding center to hold people to find out what to do next. I mean, this problem has been tossed on you very, very fast, and you're now trying to figure out a solution to a problem. So you have to put them somewhere. You just can't say, well, you know, like Biden, here's an ankle bracelet. Come back to this facility in a couple weeks, a month, and we'll look at your situation. You can't do that. It's not going to happen. So you're going to have to put them in a facility to figure out the situation, where you are and where you stand and who these people are. Now, I know Fidel Castro was smart enough to empty his prisons out to allow his worst of the worst to come to America. You know, don't come back. You come back, you're going back to prison. He was smart enough to get rid of his troublemakers, his criminals. You can bet that the same situation has happened in Haiti. Prisons open, jails open, get out of here. Where they come? Go to America. If there was ever any way to take down America, boy, it would be situations like this. You take down and destroy America from within America. You bring in people, you let them take off anywhere. You don't have any restraints. You don't watch them. You don't know where they're going. And you allow them to do what they're going to do. Like I said last week, I wondered about the Lake and Riley situation in Georgia. And then carrying on nationally, how many people actually understood illegals in this country targeting Americans here and bringing crime to America have decided to actually, whether it's their first time gun purchase, firearm purchase, or maybe they have many guns, but they've decided to buy guns, they've decided to buy ammunition and get ready for the worst of the worst, because we have people in this country, we don't know what they're going to do. And many of those people, if you just do the percentages. Now, I heard Mark Dice the other day, probably be the first person I've ever heard, throw out a big number at you about how many illegals are in this country. I think he's off by about 10 million. But he's claiming there's about 30 million illegals in this country. I think it's closer to 40. I could be surprised. It could be more than that. But you don't know. And if you just do the percentages of 10 percentage points, that 10% of that population of 40 million are here, and they're criminals, and they're going to do damage, and they're going to target Americans, and maybe even terrorize America. Maybe they're going to set off bombs. I don't know. Everything is in place for that to happen. And if that happens, well, you know what the government's response is going to be. Martial law. Shut it all down. Martial law. You look around, you start finding National Guard on every street corner, or you start seeing UN peacekeepers on street corners, you'll know that this was a situation that our own government created. It created the problem. Now it sells you the solution. The safety issues will give you the safety of a problem that we created. This is serious stuff. Mike Rivera and I have been talking a lot through the week, and I agree with him when he says that he thinks a civil war is inevitable, a revolution in this country is inevitable. I think he's absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct. And what I'm saying to you here now on RBN is to take that very serious and make sure that you are well prepared to defend yourself and your families. You have enough food. You have enough of everything else you need. Not reliant on going to the store to pick up this and this, because in a situation like this, a civil war, a revolution we have going here, those will disappear. They'll all be looted anyway. They'll be gone. There'll be nothing on the shelves anyway. So don't be that person that's reliant on government for your survival needs. Don't ever be in that situation. I would hope that you'd start thinking about farming and growing your own vegetables in your own gardens. I've been doing this. I started years ago. I have actually upped it this year and doing pots, 5-gallon pots I'm growing tomatoes in, along with what I have in the ground already. And I'm growing potatoes. I'm growing everything. I have everything pretty much other than a cow or any lamb or any pigs in my backyard. I do have access to eggs, fresh eggs, in a barter deal, a barter situation here. And I think that's where we're going to head. I think we're definitely going to have to rely on barter and trade to get what we need to survive, to ride out the storm, to ride out the storm. So we'll see. I don't know how this is going to end with the Haitians. I don't know. This is I don't want them in Miami. I don't want them in Tampa. I don't want them in Orlando. Sorry. So let's hope they can contain them and put them in a place and then send them back, I guess. You know, our government talks a good game. For the last, how many years? 20-something years, 30 years, we've heard this. There's a war on terrorism. I think, taking it back, I think George Bush was the first one. I don't think before that there we had a serious verbiage saying, well, we have a war on terrorism, war on terrorism. But I think George Bush was the deciding who was on the axis of evil list and who was the enemy, and then declaring a war on terrorism right after 9/11. Of course, he got the wrong guys, you know, but that doesn't matter when you have a phony agenda like war on terrorism. So I thinking that we are a superpower in this country here, and if we clearly wanted to win a war on terrorism, we would have won that war on terrorism because we would have built a wall. We would have the best of the best intelligence to find out who people are, what they plan on doing, and use that technology to find the terrorists and stop them. But we don't do that. We waste our effort, that technology, on spying on you and me and shutting down people who have a different viewpoint on topics, policy, and making sure that the whistleblowers attack, because we can't have that out. So the whole – any war declared by government is a farce. War on terrorism, the war on obesity, the war on this and that, diabetes, the war on everything is a sham. It's a total sham. It really is. So we do have a big superpower of a military. Why not, if you're true and you want to stop the illegal immigration coming to this country from like Mexicans, Venezuela, Haiti, why not send your military in? Why not send your best of your best? Why not send in your mercenaries and take the enemy head on and take the enemy out? Why not? Why can't we do that? Sure, we can do that. We care about humanity. We care about people. We don't want people fleeing into other countries. And where we have a war on terrorism, is this not terrorism? Well, sure, it's terrorism. So why not send our military in? To take out the drug cartels in Mexico, to stop the fentanyl coming in that comes in from China to Mexico and over our borders. Why not take on the cartels? Are you telling me you can't beat the cartels? Our superpower military cannot beat the cartels? So why are we spending $1 billion a year in defense? Why? Total waste of time, a waste of money. You're not getting the best of the best in our Department of Defense. We could solve these problems. But these problems bring on more, as Ron McDonald used to say, commerce. It's all about commerce, Steve. We have to have somebody to chase. We have to have some kind of threat. Because you see, our Department of Defense budget is what keeps this country afloat. We need a strong military budget. We need to keep throwing more money at the military in order to keep everything afloat. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can throw all the money you want, and it's not going to help. It's not going to trickle down. It's not going to save this country. One branch, the military-industrial complex, is not going to save the entire nation. In commerce, it's not going to save it. You get some benefit, and most everybody does not benefit from it. So it's a total bomb here. Throw your money at something that's not going to keep your dollar being a dollar, worth a dollar. It's not going to keep your fiat currency. You are going into a digital currency, which will be controlled by the central banking. That's a fact. That's a fact. Which brings me to the subject matter of your money. Your money. Gold and silver. We've been told, well, yes, our fiat currency is going to collapse at some point in time. The dollar's not going to be there anymore. It's done. It's over. We'll convert to a digital currency. I told you they'll probably give you a leeway, a grace period to bring your currency, your hardback currency, your silver-backed dollars there to a bank to be deposited and converted over to a digital currency. And I hear people saying, well, the solution to everything here is gold and silver. Gold and silver. Well, it sounds like a great idea. Only problem is, are we going back to the old West where we had gold dust? We could weigh our gold dust and our gold dust was valued at this much, and I want to buy that and that. I'll come back to this when we come back. Stay tuned.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit. Factbit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Let's get back to the gold and silver, protecting your money with gold and silver. I know everybody's saying gold and silver, that's the solution to a collapsing economy. But I want you to think about this here a little bit. I don't think anybody's ever thought about this and talked about it other than myself right now. And I'm just going to open this door and let you think about it. If you disagree with me, give me a call. Let me know how I'm wrong on this subject here. But talking about our dollar disappearing, our fiat currency dying, we're going into a digital currency, which will be used against us, by the way, on everything, every level you can think of to control us and our habits and our buying habits, our production of CO2, everything you can think of, it'll control you. And if you don't obey the rules and take the shots and this and that, they simply dig into the digital account here and pull out a fine, a nice fine to send you a lesson, to saying, or freeze your account, one or the other, to send you a message that they control the currency, they can control you. So thinking about gold and silver as being the cure-all for economic collapses, it's not going. I don't see it happening. And the reason I say that is, like I said, going back to the days of the Old West, when the gold miners would come into the town to buy their supplies, they would pull out a little bag and they'd weigh their gold dust, and their gold dust was worth this much, and they measured it off and gave it back to the rest, and they said, okay, now that's worth this much money, and you could buy all these supplies. And so they would do all their trade based on the gold dust. So if we have gold and silver hid away for the rainy day for the economic collapse, they do know who owns the gold and silver. If you don't think they know everything you own in gold and silver, you're just turn the radio off now and go watch Gilligan's Island, because they know everything about you. They know all your holdings. They know everything. They know how much gold and silver you have stored away. They know everything. Everything has a tracking number. If it has a tracking number, it goes right to the United States government. They know exactly how much gold and silver you have. I mean, we even have the banks now stitching on people if you put too much money in, or you take too much money out, or try or attempt to take money out or deposit too much money because you're probably a drug dealer. and therefore the government should know all about you. So if you think your gold and silver is protected, that they don't have a clue of what you bought, not unless you're buying off of people on the street or you go to a flea market and somebody's got gold or something, but you're still not out of the woods on this one here yet, because you're going to have this gold and silver converted into a digital currency. There's no way around it. They run the system. They run the scam. Like I said, there will be a grace period to turn all your paper money in to convert that to a digital currency, but your gold and silver will also have to be created and turned in for a digital currency value, because there's no way to bring in what you have to say, I want this, 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 and then somebody makes the deal and takes your trade, your gold, in trade for the merchandise. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So your gold and silver is going to have to be converted into a digital currency to be used. Again, the scam is being run by the scammers, and they've made sure that there's no way the gold and silver can be held and turned into a currency without their know-how. It must can be converted to a digital currency. They'll give you a little piece of paper like that Roosevelt did. Yeah, we took your gold and your silver, and here we'll give you this little certificate, and we'll tell you what it's worth. Not what the market value says it's worth, because you bought it at a certain price. You're hoping for appreciation on your investment. Gold and silver is an appreciation. It's an investment. But they'll tell you, because they control the scam, they'll tell you how much your new gold and silver has been converted to this much U.S. currency, digital currency, and this is what we think it's worth. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to think this way. That's the only thing I can come up with. There's no way in the world that will let you have gold and silver and make transactions and purchase on gold and silver without converting it first to a digital currency. I've heard no one talk about this. Mainstream media won't talk about it, but not even the independent media. Newsmax never talked about it because, well, they have gold and silver companies on their networks trying to sell them gold and silver, trying to sell you gold and silver. But think outside the box here. Think outside the box. How can I buy products with my gold and silver unless it's converted to a digital currency? It is frustrating. It is frustrating trying to find solutions to problems where they own the system and they own everything. They own everything. Let's get to Donald Trump a little bit here. Donald Trump had a pretty good week, primaries. Looks like he's going to have pretty much a clean sweep when this is all said and done. He will be the candidate for the Republican Party, no doubt about it. Despite having all the lawsuits still piling up, still in place, I received a text this week saying that seven states will allow early voting. And you can vote actually 6 weeks early in these states, 6 weeks early, a voting drop box. I don't know about you, but does anyone understand this scam that's being placed right now? Does anybody understand the scam of allowing early voting? 6 weeks? 6 weeks. Well, you've just allowed the cheaters to see on a daily basis of where they stand the election in that state. My guess, they're all red states. Those are the ones you got to steal to win the presidency, the Oval Office. So you have 6 weeks to watch the numbers and then figure out how many votes you're going to have to manufacture, create, or flip using the same system we got screwed over in 2020 to win the election. Am I the only one that sees this? You've given the opportunity, you've given them time to figure out how many votes they need to steal the election. 6 weeks. I don't know. It's not clever. It's not cunning. It's so in your face, this theft that's about to happen in 2024 if we do not stop it. I haven't heard any Republicans talking about this 6 weeks. I haven't heard anybody talking about this. But it is giving them the heads up. how you can steal it, how many votes you need, and you can do it. You can steal this election. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. Yeah, at this point here, with this election is stolen here, if this one is really stolen, voting is pointless if this one's stolen. I'm going to give it one last try here. JR, if you're listening, I'm going to give it one last try here, man. One last try. I'm going to stand in line with my wife. We're going to vote. Not that Trump is the savior. He is not. It's just the alternative is so much worse. It is so much worse. But I will give it one last try. The old college try here. And if this one is stolen, I say we should tear down the Statue of Liberty. Dump it in the ocean, make a fish reef out of her, and or tow it back to France. Give it back to them. Give them back their Lady Liberty. It could be the Pied Piper to France, you know, to lead those poor, those huddled masses, those sick, back to France. But I don't think it's going to really matter. Like I said, Lady Liberty will not stand for what we thought it does. It will not stand for freedom. It will not stand for our rights. It won't stand for anything. It'll just, there's Lady Liberty. It won't have the same meaning as it was intended to. It will not have that meaning, especially right now. And I got so burned up on this over the week in the Fannie Willis situation being disqualified or not being disqualified. And this judge, and I thought for certain, I had many conversations with many people on this, and it was so obvious the conflict of interest that Nathan Wade is her stud muffin lover. They had a relationship way prior to hiring him to take down Donald Trump on election interference, election fraud, trying to change the outcome of election. It's so obvious, the evidence. We had the cash flow. We had the text messages. We had emails. We had everything. We even had Nathan Wade's lawyer spill the beans about the relationship. And still, what happens? The judge decides to keep Fannie Willis in place and proceed forward with taking down Donald Trump, but she must replace him with somebody else. Nathan Wade is out. What an injustice. What an injustice. And then nothing has actually been done. Nothing's been said. Nothing's been done about perjury, lying under oath. Nothing has been done about that. Nothing. Which invalidates and nullifies the oath itself. Taking the oath, putting your hand up. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. The oath will have no meaning anymore. So if you ever pulled in court to testify or something, skip the raising your right hand and taking the oath. And you tell them why. Because Big Fanny got off of lying, perjury, under oath, nothing happened. If you think about it, most criminals, they go in the courtroom, if they testify on their own behalf, they put their right hand up and they lie. I don't know any other way to verify somebody's going to tell the truth, but we do have these rules and laws in place, and the oath is in place for a reason. But we're living in a time where we have very few people that are godlike. Christians, they're not Christians, they're Luciferian, they're devil types, they're evil. So they'll go through the motion of saying, taking the oath, sure, I'll tell the truth, sure, no, I'm joking. And when you're caught lying, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens to Big Fannie Willis, nothing. No jail, no fine, nothing. Donald Trump did that? Jail, fine. Another jail term, another fine. 700 plus years, add another 100. You lied under oath. I mean, these people hate Donald Trump so much to actually now throw around numbers like 700 years in prison. I mean, come on. I mean, we're going back to biblical times. I mean, nobody lives 700 years. Oh, you want to extend that 700 years and maybe pass off the sentence and the family has to pay the, pay the rest of the sentence. I don't know. Do the sentence? I don't know. But these people hate him so much. Really, truly, the Trump derangement syndrome is a mental illness. It is a mental illness. There was a meme I saw the other day, and I'm going to read it to you because it's funny as heck. But a picture of Donald Trump. And it says next to his name here, next to his picture, it says they tried so hard to make him look corrupt. And the other caption is a picture of Jack Smith, Big Fanny Willis, and Letitia James. And by them it says, but all they did is show the world just how dirty and corrupt they are. It's true. We are living in bizarre world times. I did a show on Friday, my jazz show, and I don't typically throw politics in, but I felt an opportunity that maybe I should, because I think one of the titles of the songs I spoke about, the artist, it has something to do with about strange times. And these are not strange times. These are just bizarro world times. It's like living in an episode, a very long and continued episode of The Twilight Zone. You keep thinking you're going to wake up, snap your fingers, wake up, and you're going to say, oh, my, we're back. God, that was a scary dream. We have the rule of law. We have a constitution. We have an honest government. All these things that we thought we had when we were younger growing up, we thought we had. Remember standing up and doing the Pledge of Allegiance and your hand on your heart? Do you remember all that when you were a kid? Now we have, I don't want to stand up and I'm going to take a knee. Kids, I'm taking a knee. These are very odd times, very odd, bizarre times. And I do believe they are scripted. I don't think it's by accident. This stuff is just happening. It's happening in concession one after another. A new crisis. And the government comes back and says, well, I've got the solution to your crisis. Always making a crisis and then selling you the solution, which is going to take away and remove your rights and your freedoms. These are not good times. At my age here, I look forward to sitting on a beach, watching my fishing pole, catching a fish. A lot of outdoor stuff, traveling, a lot of traveling. Some world traveling, can't do that now. We're hated everywhere we go. What, you're American? Uh-oh, American. Can't even travel anymore. Places I wanted to go, things I wanted to see, never going to happen now. The ugly American goes on vacation now. I don't think so. Stuck here in God's waiting room, Florida, for when my time comes. But no, this is not what I had planned. This is not the life I had planned. My wife the same way. We're just every day we're trying to keep our chin up and say, you know, another day, do the best we can, what we have, love our family, love our friends, love God, have faith, peace, help others as much as you possibly can. I never thought I'd be battling my own government. Never thought I'd be battling my own government to survive. Never thought I'd be fighting them as they're trying to take me down with a vaccine. You must take the vaccine or you get fired. You know, I never thought this was going to be. It's the most bizarre times of our lives right now. People say, oh, it's interesting times. No, it's not. There's a commercial on TV about Bullet Vodka. Not about Bullet Vodka, but Bullet Bourbon. Sorry, Bourbon. Quite different. And the guy says he's an athlete. These are interesting times that we're living in. As if it's a positive thing he's saying. Well, get drunk, get stoned, and maybe it is a good time. Maybe if you forget everything that's happening right now, maybe it will be a good time. These are interesting times. But for those who aren't drunk, we're all sober and see what's going on, it's very alarming. It's very frustrating. It brings a lot of anger out. And I'm looking for new ways to blow off that anger because this is really coming to a top again. John was always saying, Steve, you're going to flip your lid, you're going to blow your top, and then you're going to come back and you're going to be all right again. he told me this over and over again. He'd call me late at night. We'd talk about these things, and it would be heated between he and I just in the conversation. And he said, "You're at that point, aren't you?" So what are you talking about? That point, you're the boil over point right now. You're angry. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. It'll get better, and it'll come back. I think I'm at that point again. After this judge let Fannie Willis off, I was in major meltdown. I was very angry, thinking, how could this happen? If the evidence is there, how could this happen? Well, evidently he's mingled in with Big Fannie Willis as far as campaign contributions and support. And I believe that somebody must have found some dirty laundry on this judge. A little black book, you know, maybe he went to Epstein's Island, I don't know. Maybe he was with an underage girl in Motel 6, I don't know. But blackmail does work. It does work. The problem is that it always works, because there's always something else you can hold over their head. So this judge flipped and did just the opposite of what I expected to come from him. He did just the opposite. I thought for sure she's disqualified, she'll be fined, and she'll be given a jail term for perjury, lying under oath. Nothing happens. No smack on their wrist, nothing. You stay in place, you can keep your job. You keep doing what you're doing. You just got to hire somebody else. Find somebody else to replace Nathan Wade. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair, and it's not. I would like to know what they had on this judge to flip like that. I would love to know it. But we could find out. We could find out if there was somebody honest in the FBI. Get their hands on that little black book. So it's not just one hand. I'm sure it floats around. It floats around. One other thing that bothered me this week about Donald Trump, and I had some conversations with Dr. Peter McCullough on this, and I didn't hear it on anybody else's independent media network other than Real America's Voice, and that Donald Trump had gone out on his Twitter account and tweeted supporting a COVID-19 vaccine for the elderly, evidently 65 and older, because the CDC now is pushing this agenda once again that their new COVID-19 vaccine is safe and effective, evidently, and you must take it if you're 65 or older. Pushing that narrative again, which, does anybody learn a lesson? It was a lie the first time, so this one's a lie too. Using the same technology, the messenger RNA. I looked for that tweet to find that tweet. I could not find the tweet. I think the tweet was retracted, taken down. But one of the doctors from the wellness company, the company that was started by Dr. Peter McCullough, was on the network talking about it, being interviewed, and he mentioned that Donald Trump had tweeted this supporting, advising people to take the COVID-19 shot. Immediately, he stood up and he said, "I will not support this man for president of the United States. He will lose many supporters if he continues down this pathway, and I will not vote for this man. I will not vote for this man." I was surprised, but I'm not surprised, because Donald Trump never has taken responsibility for the COVID-19 vaccine to begin with. It was warp speed, came out in 8 months. He acted like a savior. I'm saving the world here. But then when the thing turned south on him and it went totally, totally negative, totally wrong, and it showed to be how detrimental and harmful this shot is, this messenger RNA, tweaking your DNA and changing everything about you, and how people were suddenly dying and having coronary problems. He never took responsibility for it, never came back and said, "You know what? I got it totally wrong." I don't expect people in high office like this to have all the answers. What I do is I expect them to hire the best of the best, the smartest of the smartest, and to get the best advice you possibly can before you implement something. You do your best. You go all out. You find the smartest people, the brightest people. And if you get it wrong, you be honest and man enough to come back and say, "You know what? I got it wrong, American people. I got it wrong. I apologize to you. I got some bad advice. Dr. Anthony Fauci is a terrible doctor. He's been working with the pharmaceuticals. They've been manufacturing all these things at secret labs all over the world, tweaking things, gain of function. And they created this monster and let it out of a lab because they have an agenda to turn this world into their ideal world, what they want. These Klaus Schwab people, the Great Reset, wanting to make the world the way they want it. It sickens me. Sickens me. Didn't take any responsibility for it. I'll get back to that subject when we come back after taking this short call here. And I want to talk to you about the exchange I had with Dr. Peter McCullough on this because he's very angry about it too. I threw some questions at him. I threw some articles at him. He came back very, very fast. We had some nice dialogue. And I'll share that with you here. Actually, we are going into commercial break. Second hour coming up. We'll talk about that when we come back. And we'll take our first caller for the night, JR in Florida. We'll be right back.
In history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization. Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica. Another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.